This is WABF. It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highways 90 and 98, and in Malbus on 181. Your host is Dr. Lou Campominosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, Laurie. Another beautiful day here. It looks like spring has finally sprung.
Yes.
And according to my forecast, we're going to have mid-60s weather at night, which sort of indicates that maybe the springtime is actually here. Now, that's hopeful. But, you know, I'm not into the weather forecasting business, so let me shift to something that is less hopeful and a little bit more aggravating, some national issues.
Political forecasting.
Okay, so okay. I'll stick to my little lane here, and we'll talk about that instead of the weather. But while the weather looks pretty good, unfortunately, my perspective from a conservative viewpoint, what's going on nationally ain't so good, okay? Now, on the state level, I think that there are a couple of hopeful signs which I want to talk about. So that's what the show is going to try to do today, and we'll wrap it up with a discussion of our forthcoming rally, which is Monday morning.
Yes, it
is. Okay, so it's March 27th, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Our Representative Moat Brooks, he's from Huntsville area, will be our guest speaker. And I think that there's a rumor going around that he may announce for his Senate campaign today. So my thought was I would ask him to hold off on that and just announce it Saturday, and that would be a big deal.
Wouldn't it? We'll
see what happens with all that. But let's kind of dig into a couple of big issues here on the national level. One is this daggum border business, okay? And, you know, I know that the Democrats are going to blame Trump for everything, all right? But there's blame and then there's blame. And the reality is that the administration is playing a semantical game about basically saying, there's no crisis. Okay, what is it then? Well, it's a challenge, okay? And we're working on it. Okay? And again, if you saw any of the Sunday shows, Homeland Security, the DHS guy, Majorca, I think that's his name. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But nevertheless, he's on trying to sell this argument that everything is okay. I mean, his last statement to Chris Wallace that I watched was, we've got this under control. We're focusing on dealing with the operational problems, and we're making progress. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what world does this guy live in? Because most people would argue that there's something going on. Don't you think so, Laurie? I mean, yes. Laurie says,
yes.
Okay, so I'm on firm ground here. This isn't just Dr. Lunatic Lou talking about crazy things happening on the border. No. Okay? And so it does raise the question of, well, how can they defend the argument that there's no border crisis? So let's talk about that. And then I want to just talk a little bit about, you know, how all of this has developed and put that policy into perspective of what we need to be trying to do. So, and I will do that all within the space of 30 seconds. No, not today.
Not today.
It ain't going to work today. All right. So how do they deal with some facts, okay? So fact number one, in December, 74,000 illegals crossed over, 5,000 of which were unaccompanied minors. In February, it jumped to 100,000 with 9,400 children. Okay, so right away, we've got an issue. So what does Majorca say? Well, this all goes back to the fact that it was Trump's fault for dismantling previous agreements that former presidents across both parties had worked out in order to prevent these sorts of things from happening. And I'm having a beaming up Scotty moment. Where has this guy been? I mean, Obama had a major problem, okay, which he complicated by coming up with catch and release. So he did nothing to make sure that the border was secure. Run the reel back just a few years before them. Biden and Obama all voted for a wall, which never got started, never got built, for whatever reason, but mainly because Obama didn't want to do anything as president. But the point is, for Majorca to kind of tell us dismissively that, and taking the moral high ground on top of it, okay, which is absolutely appalling. But nevertheless, he's going to lecture us on humane treatment that is required by U.S. law, and the fact that we've got these asylum agreements that we have to live up to means that we have to take all these people. So scratch your head a little bit on that one, folks, and kind of think about, what does this really mean? We have a moral obligation to take these people from these third world countries, particularly from Central America. And so the Biden argument is that because these Central American countries are essentially corrupt, you know, despotic, violent, these kids and these people are subject to all sorts of gang violence and what all the things that go along with a country that is not really capable of doing well by its citizens, which is nothing new, okay? I got that. But now, all of a sudden, according to Majorca, it's our responsibility to take care of these people because U.S. law demands that. Now, I don't know about you, but I would suggest to you that the whole question of asylum is undermined by a whole lot of other factors. Factors such as the inability of these countries to provide sustenance for their people. The inability of these countries to not be corrupt, to not allow gangs like MS-13 to control major portions of the cities. So think with me for a second. According to Majorca, as he interprets this, we're obligated to sort these problems out by taking as many people who want to come in to escape all of those factors. And so I say time out here, DHS Secretary. Time out. What Trump did not dismantle anything. What he did was unscrew something that Obama and Biden had completely, God, I'd like to be able to use a Marine term here, but I won't because I don't want to get fired.
Thank you.
Okay. But you know what? I mean, this is such common sense, it's ridiculous. But we're supposed to accept this new lie, okay? The big lie, you know. Here's another version of the big lie that Trump was colluding with the Ruskies. Now, it's all Trump's fault that the border's falling apart, despite the fact that he built 450 miles of new wall that actually worked. I mean, give me a break. So the fact that he builds the wall and he works out a deal with the Mexicans. Now think about this, and I've mentioned this last week. I mean, this is extraordinary. Here is Trump, the super ultimate capitalist, warmonger, dealing with his compatriot over south of the border, who's a socialist lover of all people. They work out a damn deal, for God's sake. And that deal is, these asylum seekers are going to stay in Mexico, not in good old USA, as they sort out their claims. Now, here's a subset for this whole damn problem, folks. Hundreds of thousands of these people have came in during the Obama period. They were asylum seekers. It doesn't matter how weak the asylum claim is, and there are certain criteria that asylum falls under, okay? It's not just because you're living in poverty and, you know, and you live in a blank hole country, okay? See, Laurie, I watched myself on that
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I tried hard
I've
on that.
I've got my hand on the button.
She's got her hand on the button. Okay. So here we are with all of these people claiming asylum. And guess what? For years, the asylum court system has been locked, jammed, because there are so many people who are claiming asylum. And guess what? Because Obama just did catch and release, the whole asylum system just fell apart because hardly anyone takes their little piece of paper that says, you have to show up at a court date, you know, at our discretion, we're going to give you that court date, blah, blah, blah. Well, not only do they just throw that in the trash can, but who the hell knows where all these people are? We sure don't. And the courts aren't, you know, ready to, and ICE can't find all of these people, number one. Number two, ICE has to concentrate on the criminal elements that they do have. Except Obama wanted to tell ICE, oh, don't send those people back. I mean, what in the hell is going on? Okay, now, if you guys out there in radio land aren't calling your state representatives, like in our area, Jerry Carl, our state federal senators, you know, Shelby and Tuberville, then shame on you. You've got to be engaged in this and just get on the phone and light up their phone lines and don't stop on it. Okay, so here we are. This is the blame Trump game. So what ends up happening in this particular case, though, is that, and let me just read from a Wall Street editorial from Monday, the 15th of March, okay? Under the Trump administration, migrant protection protocols, asylum seekers waited in Mexico for their cases to be adjudicated by U.S. immigration courts. That's just what I just said. Excuse me. The Biden administration ended this policy and has begun admitting asylum seekers with pending cases, no matter how far-fetched the claims. Okay, right there is the key to the whole damn thing. Because guess what? They want, the Democrats want these people in the country and turn them into nice little Democrat voters. Okay, got it? That's not too hard of a, you know, a concept to get your head around. This is what they want to do. As the journal goes on to say, migrants can seek permission to work after filing asylum application. Now think about this. We're still in the pandemic, which is another subset questions. It's they're letting people with COVID into the country. Governor Abbott is going nuts down there. And Mallorca has the audacity to answer, Chris Wallace's question by saying, We're strictly following protocol. Really? I mean, we're actually finally turning the corner on COVID, and these guys down there, for their own political reasons, are letting these illegals in who are COVID infected. Now, if that doesn't, oh God, I really want to use a Marine kind of thing, but I'm refraining.
Thank you.
I am really refraining. So if that doesn't get you mad, then I don't know what will. They're COVID infected, and they're letting them in, putting them on buses and sending them into the heartland. Okay, so if that doesn't get you going just a little bit on your Monday morning here, let's just continue reading this little bit, okay? The wait for an asylum tribunal hearing can be years, as I suggested to you. Literally, and many applicants never bother to show. The number is about 98%, okay? So the whole thing was a sham to begin with. They further say this, the clear signal to migrants and to the human smugglers who run people across the border is that now is the time to come to America. Now here again, Chris Wallace pushed Mallorca on this, and he said, oh, no, we are not encouraging anyone. And again, that just, you know, it fundamentally blows the mind, okay? Laurie's telling me it's a lie. Yes, it is a lie, okay? I'm just being nice about it. It blows your mind to think that they would say anything along those lines, okay? Encouraging. I mean, as soon as Biden won his campaign, okay, after the South Carolina primary, essentially. It was all about welcoming the illegals. So Mallorca said that there was a spike in April of 2020. Well, I guess so, because in every one of these Democratic primary debates, if you watch them, they all made the same point. We are going to have immigration reform. We're going to legalize the immigrants who are here, And of course, nobody knows when they came. They didn't get a little card that stamped, you arrived on the border on September the 5th of blah, blah, blah year. No, folks, there's no damn control about it. So think about this. What's the signal to, you know, these folks in Central America now? They're hearing all of this stuff. And then, of course, they also are smart enough to figure out that everybody in the world, like the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, want Trump gone, as do the Democrats, as does George Soros. And isn't it convenient that there's a pandemic spread by the Chinese? And I say that without hesitation, okay? Wuhan was a China issue. And they're still trying to dodge it. They wouldn't even let the who they own, of course. The World Health Organization had to go back and say, well, our report, after they had completed it, the visits in China over the last 4 or 5 months, the report had to be scuttled because the Chinese weren't willing to give them all the information they wanted. Oh, really? No kidding. What a surprise. What a shock. Okay. So here now you have a situation where, you know, the confluence of all of these things happening in April are definitely a signal to those people who are smart enough to figure, they don't know who's there now. And if I get in under the wire, then I'm going to get, you know, citizenship too. So why the hell not try it? I mean, duh. And now they're telling us this was all Trump's fault. All Trump's fault. I've already quoted the statistics that by December, because of what Biden and them had done, 74,000 in December, over 100,000 in February. I mean, I'm not making that up. I wish I was, but I ain't. So here we go on to say what the journal was saying, okay? The clear signal to migrants, okay? That signal was magnified by the White House message that it wants to legalize the 11 million or so undocumented migrants with a fast track to citizenship. Message, get in as fast as you can. Well, the journal had it right. And I may just be repeating it, but I didn't need to read that. We all knew that. That's it. That's the name of the game. So there you have that particular issue. All I can say is you need to be calling your friends up there in D.C. and getting on them.
I will have Congressman Carl here with me on the radio Wednesday morning this week,
okay,
at 8:20.
Right. We should ask him about all those things. All right, let's talk a little bit about another major one of these foreign policy issues this time. You know, I've been talking to you about China and the grand strategy that the Chinese have in terms of, you know, making themselves number one in the world, okay? They want to lead the world. They want to control what's going on. And they're making progress with that. Until they were making progress until Trump came on the scene. Excuse me. And suddenly, a monkey wrench is thrown in their path. And that led to all sorts of problems for Xi and the Chinese government. So whether it was Trump's attempts to get trade imbalances sorted out, whether it's Trump's approaches to dealing with the North Korean, you know, dictator Kim Jong-un, who is a China puppet for all practical purposes, whatever the case was, China ends up needing the American market in order to have its economy grow, okay? So what Trump was doing in terms of sanctions, in terms of tariffs, those things did not bode well for China's ultimate goals. And so it was pretty clear that the Chinese, along with the Iranians, and along with the Ruskies, wanted to see someone else in the White House, especially someone else who has a track record like Biden. Now, that track record we've talked about many times. I'm not going to repeat it completely. I will say this, though. If you are compromised because your family's taking money from China's business and China's government, what do you think is going to happen when it's a Biden administration having to go eyeball to eyeball with Le Chinois? Okay? Guess what, folks? We've already seen it. Last week, Blinken and the Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor met with their Chinese counterparts in Alaska. And you know the first thing the Chinese did? They violated the agreement to have 2 minutes of introductory remarks and then get down to business. They went off on a 15-minute rant that basically attacked the United States for being a warmonger because we use force in the world. They criticized the American democracy as being a sham, and they used the BLM, you know, arguments about how racist, systemic racism is all part and parcel of our democracy. Therefore, don't sit there and talk to us about what we do suppressing human rights. You're just as guilty. Now, the BS factor there is pretty high in my view, but do you think Blinken and them said, hey, friends, we're out of here. Goodbye. We'll reschedule this. Oh, no. They kowtowed. He tries to explain this crap away. Look, folks. The old lesson out of World War II. Weakness begets aggression. There's no reason to think that the Munich syndrome, which was Chamberlain giving in to Churchill, to Hitler, is gone. Appeasement seems to be part and parcel of certain segments of our elite thinking, particularly in foreign policy. So you get a situation now where China is bullying the United States, basically using our own domestic radical left interpretations of our history to their own advantage. And our government officials have to meekly say, oh no, that's not true. We're better than that. Blah, blah, blah. Instead of just saying, hey, see you later, guys. We'll talk more. Give us a call when you're ready to talk about substantive things. Like, what are you doing with genocide with the Uyghurs? What are you doing about Hong Kong and the violation of the agreement you signed to let them be free and independent within the Chinese orbit? We don't understand why you keep trying to, you know, press Taiwan by violating their airspace and sending signals that you're going to do something about the fact that Taiwan exists independent of your reach. What about those things? Oh no, well we can bring that stuff up, but it's going nowhere. Let me frame this in a way that we all can kind of figure this out. I just mentioned again the lesson of Munich. The lesson of Munich basically argues that if you are going to appease people who have aggressive designs, then what's going to happen is it's only going to get worse. It's best to just take them on, and this was Churchill's argument in 38. Take the Germans on, draw a line in the sand, come what may. I mean, the French army was larger than the German army. They had more tanks than the Germans. The Germans had not completed their complete rebuilding. Be that as it may, the lesson here is that China has very real capabilities and they have very real motivations to do what they say they want to do, which is to become the world's superpower, to replace the United States. So how do you analyze what has taken place over the Obama period, the Trump period, and the period that we are now in with Biden. Think carefully about this. There's a big discussion going on within the military theoretical people. And their argument basically is that when China started to militarize these islands in the South China Sea, the United States did not have the capability to thwart that. And that really translates into an inability to defend the fleet, our fleet, the Seventh Fleet, against China's development of anti-ship missiles that were, you know, hidden inside China but could reach out to that area. So just think about that for a second. That's the argument. They were able to neutralize our fleet. Run the reel forward to 2016 when the Philippines won at The Hague, the World Court, their lawsuit that basically claimed that China had illegally kept the Philippines from doing the kinds of things that it had in terms of international law and the right to the sea to do fishing in the South China Sea and to claim certain islands that they had claimed for many, many years. They won that. Now you've got international law on the side of the good guys here, and then you have Trump come into power. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Trump basically calls Kim Jong-un out, and you're saying, well, you're talking about China, and now you're talking about Korea. You'll understand it in a second. Kim Jong-un is going nuts with shooting missiles, deploying missiles, testing nuclear weapons. Trump calls him out on it. If you remember, 2017, major problems. Trump deploys three carrier task force in the fall of 2017, along with rhetoric that basically says, you need to stop this or something bad's going to happen. Now, the point I'm making is that the use of force in international affairs hinges on the will to use that force. Run the reel back to Obama. I don't buy the capability issue that the military, the Seventh Fleet, was under such, you know, a threat that they could not intervene in the South China Sea to stop these islands because they were afraid of the missiles. It turns on Obama and his view of American foreign policy and the fact that Obama had given up in the Middle East to the Iranians and to the Russians. Now think about this. This is his view, okay? He just gives over the whole Middle East. And how many times I've said this, okay? This has to be the 99th time I've said this to you folks. This is the problem with Obama in power. He hated America. We were the problem. This is the whole basis of Howard Zinn and all these communist people who see the United States as the problem. And the communist Chinese just said it the other day. We're the problem. So if that's Obama's thinking, God, I'm almost breaking the mic here. It hit me. That's Obama's thinking. No will.
And still today, Biden's
thinking, of course, I'm getting there, Lori. I'm getting there. So what happens with Trump? He takes a different approach. He has the will to stand up to the dictators. So let me say this. If he's deploying three carrier task force into that area, don't you think that they were under the same threat that was existing in 2014 when Obama could have done the same thing to take on what was happening to the militarization of these islands? Now you do have a problem because you've got these islands that are militarized. They have anti-ship capabilities, anti-air defense capabilities. So now we have a bigger problem. My point being, the will that Trump had to force Kim Jong-un to the negotiating table was lacking with Obama over the militarization of the South China Sea. Now, run the reel forward again, and we've got Biden. Biden not only has the compromise issue that we've seen because of his family relationships and taking the money and all the rest of that stuff, but he has the baggage of being wrong on so many different foreign policy issues, which it's not just old Dr. Liu saying this. You had all sorts of people who worked with him before. You know, former Defense Secretary Gates basically made the same thing. So my point here is that the will to do what's necessary is a prime ingredient in dealing with these aggressive people. Look what Biden is doing with Iran. They're trying to restart the nuclear deal. They're undoing the sanctions, and Biden criticized Trump for killing Soleimani, who was the architect of the Iranian strategy to dominate the Middle East. And on that note, friends, I've just reached my time limit. Why is this so short? I don't know.
You've got your local event to remind people about.
Okay.
And the Bridge press conference.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. All right. So, once again, Common Sense Campaign will be doing on March 27th, Stand Up Alabama. It's going to be a great afternoon with Congressman Mo Brooks as our keynote speaker. He may be Senate candidate Mo Brooks by then. We'll find out. So if you will go to our Common Sense Campaign website, you'll find out information about this. We're getting a flyer out on it. We'll post it. 4
p.m. at the Spanish Fort Container Park.
Spanish Fort Container Park. We'll get a flyer to Lori as soon as we have that out. And basically, you know, we think it's going to be a great day. Just hope the weather holds up. But another weather forecast issue here. But we're going to do that. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a press conference to talk about the I-10 bridge issue. We'll see how that goes. I've been to the Eastern Shore MPO meeting that they had last month. And so this is off schedule from my understanding. They were supposed to have another one in April. So now they're here doing this as a special one. So maybe they've got some news. So we will get some information to you on that, next week. Well, it's a follow-up. But to everyone, stay safe. God bless everyone. And see you next week.
Thank you, Dr. Liu.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Liu Campomenosi, paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highways 90 and 98 and in Malbus on 181. The opinions and views of this program are not necessarily those of the station or management. If you'd like to hear the show again, or you missed something, or you want to tell a friend, it will be posted by noon at WABF1480.com.